Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 in Chicago with a live studio audience. Oh yes, the return of the live studio audience. How is everyone doing there this beautiful Monday morning? What a beautiful week ahead. We still feel the inspiration of Hanukkah blasting us through the days and weeks ahead until we get to Purim. Absolutely. Okay, and boy oh boy, Project 613 is rocking on all cylinders, firing on all cylinders. We had two programs today, not one, but two, and we're going to be sharing one of them with you, a fascinating interview, armchair discussion with Sarit Shachar, who is very close with two hostages who are still currently in Gaza. It is riveting. It is powerful. It is, I believe, the responsibility of every Jew on planet Earth to have our hearts with those in Gaza, and it will be released and, God willing, appreciated and enjoyed near and far. I would like to thank two very special people in my life, our life here, my parents' life, down in Florida. You know, that's where people go. Sorry, Mom and Dad. Just kidding. Anyway, yes, down in Florida, our beloved friends, Manas and Helen Friedman, who are Monday Motivation listeners, dear friends of our family, learn Torah together with my parents. It's absolutely fantastic and amazing, who have sponsored this edition of Monday Motivation. So cue the applause to Helen and Manas. We value, thank you. Yes, applause. Thank you. The live studio audience came back. So thank you all very much. And we look forward to seeing you sometime soon. Here we go. This week's Torah portion, this past week, has so much in it. It is dramatic. It is exciting. It is better than anything on TV. Not that I know what's on TV, but it's better, I'm sure, than anything on TV or the movies. It is the culmination of the Joseph story, of that the reunification of Yosef and his brothers. And I'm not going to go into that story, but I'm going to go into the outcome of that story and something absolutely unbelievable, mind-blowing. So fasten your seatbelts as you tune in for this Monday Motivation. So here we go. Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, and they are blown away, literally blown away. Like, according to some opinions, their souls left their bodies. It was like Hashem had to like bring them back together. They were absolutely stunned. And they realized that that effect probably would happen when they would tell their father, Yaakov, who was back up in the Holy Land. Again, they were down in Egypt, and Yaakov was back up in Israel. And they were worried how to tell him so that the shock of Yosef, who he had not seen in over two decades, would be too much for his system. And chas v'shalom, and God forbid, he might die on the spot of shock. So what was the game plan? So the game plan was as follows. One of Yaakov's granddaughters, who is named Serach Bas Asher, and she was an expert musician, and she played the harp. And the brothers had her go and play soft, beautiful music to Yaakov to calm him. And she, as the Midrash explains, she would start like almost like whispering Oh, Yosef, hi. Yeah, Yosef is still alive. Yosef is still alive. Like almost like a faint dream. And then louder and louder until she was singing this song, that Ode Yosef Chai, that Yosef is alive. And at that point, Yaakov slowly got into the mood of what was happening. And the brothers came in and confirmed that indeed Yosef was still alive. So it was an amazing thing that the brothers knew back then, clearly, the impact of music, the impact of music on one's mood. And we see this throughout the Torah and Tanakh, the entire Jewish Bible. We see music plays a key role in the service in the temple, right? The Kohanim, the priests, which were a subset of the tribe of Levi, were in fact were the ones who were doing the actual service, which meant anything from taking out the garbage to cooking the meals to slaughtering to spritzing to you name it. But the Levites, one of their main functions was playing music. They were playing music, and that was their job. And it's an amazing thing today, and I've seen this over and over and over again. It is not uncommon to see Levites today, Levies. If you know a Levi today, ask them if they're musical, or ask them if people in their family are musical, and I would say 8 times out of 10, you will find that there is a residual musical capability within Levites. I have a good friend who's a Levi. All 3 of his brothers and his father, they got the jive. they're good. This is the residual spiritual gift of music. And that was, so you say, what? They just wanted some entertainment? They wanted some entertainment in the temple there? You know, like, put on the Spotify? And that was in, you know, a divinely mandated that the Levites would play in the temple? And the answer is absolutely yes, because we are creating a mood of connection. We are pruning away all of the outer layers that get in our way. And in fact, in Shacharis, in the morning, all of you I know who are out there with your prayer books in the morning, there is one of the first sections of the morning service is called Psukei Dezimra, which is verses of Zimra, Zemira. Zmirot, a zemer, is a song, is a tune. On Shabbos, we sing zmiros. But really, what does the word zemer mean? It actually has a primary meaning. Before it means song, it means lizmor, which means to prune or to cut. So if you have a vineyard, you would do zmira on the vines. I remember growing up in Napa and seeing these beautiful, or near Napa, and seeing these beautiful vineyards, and they needed to be pruned. So what in the world does the morning prayer have to do, Psukei Dezimra, verses of cutting, verses of pruning? And that's exactly what it is that ideally we're supposed to use these psalms in the morning to cut through all of the outer layers of the shopping list, of the worries of the day, of the worries of the week and the month and the year, and all the distractions, and it did my team do the way that they should do or not. I don't know for sure, but I'm assuming that the Chiefs did not play any of their players, considering they were blank today. Sorry, Dad, but I'm sure you didn't watch. Okay, but anyway, I digress. So this is the way that the prayer is set up, that it's supposed to be musical. And the entire Tehillim, the whole Psalms, is set up as literally David on his harp, but not just his harp. The Psalms will begin with different descriptions of different instruments that David or Asaph or other people that David not only wrote the Psalms, he also collected them, 150 of them. And they would indicate on which type of instrument they would play. An 8-stringed instrument, drums, harps, different things. And you see the centrality of music in Torah, because Hashem knew and knows, as the great manufacturer of the human being and the human body in particular, that music has a powerful impact on our mood. It has almost a direct impact into how we feel. Later on in Nach, in the Nevi'im, in the prophets, King Saul, Shaul, was a very interesting personality. And in his dark moments, and who doesn't have dark moments, he would call King David to play for him so that he would be soothed in his mood. And so we see, and this is just scratching the surface of the mighty iceberg of ideas about how central music is to Torah and Torah tradition. And I want to share with you a little something that I shared at my Shabbos table this week. So what we like to do is, you know, mix it up. You know, Shabbos meal, I kind of, you know, it's like a sort of like a talk show. You got to have different segments and different exciting things and keep it real and keep it exciting. And you never know, so that people never know what to expect. It should never be boring, your Shabbos meal. And so sometimes we do a section called Niflaot Habore, Niflos Habore, the wonders of the creation. And one of my son's teachers a few years ago, every week would bring back a sheet for Shabbos of the amazing statistics about a different animal each week. And so we learned so much about the animal kingdom and the incredible wisdom that the Almighty put in each animal. And what I did this past week, which was so much fun, was do a biology class. Are you ready? Are you ready? But fasten your seatbelts and open your minds and just wait for the absolute glorious process of how Serach Bas Usher played her music and it entered Yaakov's ear, starting in the outer ear called the pinna. And I had a dear friend of me who is a very accomplished musician who said that the most advanced headphones and speakers are based on the model and the curvature of the human outer ear because it's made to amplify the sound. And God did it best when he made those folds of the outer ear. And that outer ear then grabs those sound waves and ushers them into the ear canal. And deep down into the ear canal, okay, you get to the eardrum. The eardrum sounds easy enough. So the waves of the sound waves make the eardrum shake. And now comes, I would say, one of the most amazing things that you will ever hear in your life. And it happens in every millisecond, is that they're the three smallest bones in the human body. So you have three in one ear and three in the other ear. So every single person has six miraculous bones. And it's literally like, so they're called the malleus is the first one, and it's attached to the eardrum. So when the eardrum starts bumping up and down, the malleus moves like a lever. And then it's attached to the incus. Now, the incus, of course, is now attached to the stapes. And the stapes then spreads out like a wishbone attaching itself to the cochlea. Now, are you fascinated by this? I bet you have to pull over now from your drive because this is just so unbelievable. And I know that you want to know what this looks like. Never fear. The front cover of Monday Motivation Podcast has this diagram so you can follow along while you are listening to this. And I'm being a little silly because you think a biology class might be boring, but it is absolutely the most unbelievable, mind-blowing thing possible. So we have these minuscule ear bones, three of them in each ear. And then, okay, so what happens? So basically, we have a bunch of drums. The sound waves come to the eardrum, and the ear bump goes to the malleus, and the malleus causes the incus to cause the stapes to hit into the cochlea. Now, we all have seen people who have what we call cochlear implants, which means that something is going on with the cochleals. And once you hear about what happens inside the cochleal, you will know that it is absolutely a miracle that you can listen to this podcast or anything for that matter. Because inside the cochleal is something unbelievable. And it is called the basilar membrane. It's a long, thin, literally partition that goes all the way through the cochlea. Now, the cochleal goes around like a seashell. It's a circular organ. And it's hard to even describe this. There are little hairs, and there's liquid in this. So the basilar membrane divides the cochleal into two, an upper and a lower part, and there's little hair cells on the basilar membrane. So as when the stapes knocks the outside of the cochleal, it sends vibrations through that liquid. And that liquid then, obviously, activates 25,000 to 30,000 minuscule microscopic hairs that lie on the basilar membrane. And then when they are moved, they let off an electronic impulse that goes to the auditory nerve and that then goes to the brain. And the brain then interprets those electrical impulses as sound.
Right.
I dumbed it down so much because I didn't want to bore you. And if you really want to read any, just Google how hearing works and you'll see articles online. It is absolutely unbelievable. And I got up to this point in the past about hearing and I said, wait a minute, I don't understand. Some people have high-pitched voices, some people have low-pitched voices. How does moving little hairs on the basilar membrane make sense? Like liquid going through, how do you know, how does the brain know what is a low pitch and a high pitch? How do you know when a dog is barking or when a bird is chirping or when there's a musical instrument and how do you know where the sound is coming from? And how do you know different instruments in an orchestra and the subtle sounds? And my wife and I always joke that we can tell which child is up at night depending on their footsteps and it's so fine-tuned. How in the world does the ear function and the brain interpret it? And I'll share with you one part of this that is absolutely unbelievable. And I hope if you're driving, you have your seatbelt fastened. Because this lovely basilar membrane is not as tight throughout the cochleal. On one end, at the front end, it's very taut. And so therefore, the hairs are only moved on a high frequency, like a bird chirping. But as you go further along, the basilar membrane is a little more loosey-goosey, and therefore it needs lower frequencies to have it fire off its electronic signal. And so, as one of the videos online said, literally, there is like a piano keyboard in your cochleal with these little hairs as the keys on the keyboard. And depending on which hairs in which combination are fired off, are waved, are moved by the vibrations, they fire off a different electronic signal to the brain. And the brain can figure it out. It sounds like science fiction. And I'm literally being vague. If you literally look at these articles, it's unbelievable. And by the way, they don't even know how the brain interprets all this stuff. And it's not just one part of the brain. It's several parts of the brain. It makes you want to get up and dance that you can hear because it's absolutely a miracle. It's a miracle that's happening all the time. Every second we can hear. And what would we do if we, God forbid, if we couldn't hear? How much would we pay? Would we pay $1 million to hear? Would we pay 10? We'd pay whatever we could to hear. And so we have that now. We have that right now. We have that wealth right now. If we can hear, we have that blessing. And what a beautiful way to end off this little biology lesson is with a message of the Chovos HaLevavos that says that the more gifts that Hashem, that God gives us, the more we have a responsibility to give back. And so therefore, maybe a good exercise this week that we could do being thankful for our ears is to commit to saying positive words this week. Wouldn't that be a beautiful outcome of this money motivation? Being thankful for our ears. Hashem, God Almighty, you've given us two functioning ears, the ability to communicate with those people we love, the ability to have a job and to function and to make a living is predominantly based on the ability to communicate with others. And therefore, we're going to pay you back, Hashem, by filling other people's cochleals and basilar membranes with positivity, with compliments, with good words. And we have, and when we have a opportunity to say something negative that has no purpose whatsoever, then maybe we'll refrain, and maybe that will be the sweetest song that we will make this week, a song of tribute to the Almighty, thanking Him for these glorious structures called the ears and the auditory processing system. God bless. Have an amazing week. I hope that you heard me well this week, and I hope that you will fill other people's ears with positivity. God bless. Have an amazing week, and we'll see you again, God willing, right here, back next week, for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.